Romans 8, verses 1 and 2, please. Romans 8, verses 1 and 2. Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life, notice that word law again, we've been thinking about. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. We were talking yesterday about being justified from sin. Thank God, I'm not only justified from my sins, but justified from sin itself, which still troubles me daily. We are justified from all things, as Paul says in Acts 13, verse 39. But here, he's not talking about being justified. He's talking about being freed from the power of this evil principle that is in us and will be in us till the Lord comes. And that's the word free, has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, we've been thinking in this series that was my lot, I've been thinking about how to live the Christian life. And first of all, we just took the word Christian. What is a Christian? And then we found that God's Word clearly says it's one whose life is characterized by doing God's will. Not my own will, but God's will. And we found the horror of sin is that it's just doing my will. 1 John 3, verse 4, whoso practices sin practices self-will, for sin is self-will. And on the other side of it, we find that whoso practices or will do the will of my Father, the same as my brother and my sister and mother. The Lord characterizes a Christian. He tells us the proof of a Christian is that he does the will of God. That's his life's purpose. And the thing that should shake us good is that if that's not true of us, then we're not saved. The proof that I am saved is that I don't do my own will now, but I do the will of God. That doesn't mean I don't fumble the ball sometimes. But it does mean the thrust of my life and the desire and purpose of my life is to do God's will in every area of my life. And yours is the same. 1 John 5:13 talks about life. And that's the second thing we looked at is after looking at the word Christian, how to live the Christian life, we looked at what is life? And we saw that it was the very nature of God himself. What a glorious nature that's got to be God's own disposition, God's own character, God's life. And that's exactly what we're given when we are saved, is the very life of God. And so you notice the verse that we read, verse 2, says, the law of the Spirit of life. He gives him special titles in the Word, like the Spirit of truth. Well, what he's talking about there is he's the one that guided those who wrote this truth for us, the Word of God. And he's the one that teaches us the truth and leads us in the truth. So he's called the Spirit of truth. But here he's called the Spirit of life because he's the power of this new life. It's by his presence within us and his working and our cooperating with him that he produces the divine nature in you and me. Man alive, what kind of people we Christians should be. Because we have the Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit within us. And His purpose is not to give us a label to get to heaven. His purpose is to produce the life of God in us. And that's what the Lord said, that anyone who believed on Him from within his inmost being would flow rivers of living water. That doesn't sound like religion, does it? Rules and regulations. It's a gushing. In another place He says that anyone that believes on Him, that he'll have this eternal water and it'll be like a fountain in him, gushing forth into eternal life. It's a gusher. You would have to put a cap on a gusher. You don't have to pump a fountain like that. It's gushing all the time. I remember one in Georgia. I had to walk 7 miles one day. And I finally got to that well that runs all the time. And every people traveling up and down the highway there in Georgia could stop by and get that refreshing water. And stopper on it. It just flows all the time. And that's exactly what the Lord said we would have. And the Scripture explains, this spake He of the Holy Spirit, whom they that believed on Him should receive. So here we have a new law, and it's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That is, if you and I have really believed on Christ, then we are identified with Him before God. He sees us righteous. He sees us not only righteous, but so much more that we can't even go into. Accepted in the beloved, identifying us with Christ as His beloved. And so He doesn't love us according to our measure of spirituality, but He loves us as He loves His Son. We are in Christ Jesus. And it's to those that are in Christ Jesus that this new law operates. The law of the Spirit of life, verse 2 says, in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I know everybody that reads Romans 7 is glad to get out of that chapter, because it's a dark chapter. It really, no wonder he ends it up with the words, verse 24, oh wretched man, or another word that Strong uses for that word wretched is miserable. Oh, miserable man that I am. Who shall deliver me from this body of death, or the body of this death? You can read it either way. It's the same difference as far as I'm concerned. Who? He didn't say what. No church can do it. No ordinance. Baptism can't do it. The Lord's Supper can't do it. Trying can't do it. It's not what shall deliver me, it's who. He realizes he needs someone bigger than he is, more powerful than he is, that can deliver him from this law of sin and death, which he says is in my members. And then he answers his own cry in verse 25 of chapter 7, I thank God for deliverance. In other words, I thank God for deliverance through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now he gives us the deliverance. And that's why a Christian rejoices to come into chapter 8 of Romans. If, as someone put it, it's like coming out of a hurricane on the sea into a quiet, safe harbor, and the storm is over. For here you've got the Spirit of God in the believer and working normally in a believer, and there's victory. Notice he calls it the law of the Spirit, for he operates the same way in every believer. He's leading us. He's enlightening us. He's seeking to give us this abundant life that we've been hearing about in the workshops. It's this new life, and the power of it is the Holy Spirit. Now, you can shortcut this if you want to, but you'll never know God's victory. You can figure out some way of your own of overcoming sin in your life. It'll never work. The reason we preach this is it's the only way for me to be delivered from what I really am in myself, even though I'm saved, is the answer is that the Spirit of God operates as a different law, a new law, and delivers me from the power of sin which is in me. You'll have to ask Brother Harold Preston to explain the details, but because he's an aviator, but I simply refer to it as the law of aerodynamics, and that is what makes a plane fly. It's got to fight gravity, hasn't it? The law of gravity is pulling down. But they shape that wing underneath a certain way, and then they shape the top of it, thick on one end and thin on the other, and smooth. And Brother Preston says that it's not really underneath the wing that lifts the plane. It's that this wind going across the top of the wing causes a vacuum there and gives lift. So that's as best I can explain the law of aerodynamics, and he'll have to straighten things out afterwards about that. But that's roughly what it's all about. You see, what one law, the law of aerodynamics, is overcoming the law of gravity, and away they go. And that's very much like this. The law of sin and death dragging us down, ever fighting against us. And the only way to overcome it is by a new law put into operation. And that's the law of the Spirit of life. And it's for you and me. If we're believers, we have the Spirit. For he says in Romans 8 that if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So it's certainly every believer has the Holy Spirit. And he's there to enable us to overcome the drag of sin in our lives. So we've seen those four laws. The law of God, which is that righteous standard that God gave in the Old Testament. But notice it's all negative except one of the Ten Commandments is positive. All the rest are don'ts, because it's telling us what kind of people we are. You have to tell us don't, because that's our very nature to sin. But now notice the difference. Look at walking in this new law, by the Holy Spirit's enabling, Romans 8 and verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak. You mean God gave a law and it was weak? Yes, that's what it says. It was weak. But the law wasn't weak. Notice he explains the weakness. Through the flesh. In other words, because the law depended on a human being to keep it. It depended on me to obey it. And I couldn't do it because I was a sinner from within. Not only by sins committed, but by my very core of my being. I'm a sinner, and that's my bent, and I could not keep the law. So there's the weakness of the law. It's right here, Lyndon Sheridan. He's the weakness of the law. for I couldn't keep it. Nothing wrong with the law. In chapter 7, he says four things about the law, and we need to pay attention to what he says. He says the law is holy, the law is just, the law is good, and believe it or not, he says the law is spiritual. Yes, he did. So there's nothing wrong with the law, but it's here. That's where the weakness is. I couldn't keep it. And so the law was given to show me I'm a sinner. The law was given that every mouth may be stopped, Romans 3:19 says. That the whole world might become guilty. The law wasn't given to save. It was given to show us we're sinners, condemned, guilty sinners. But notice what he says in let's finish verse 3 first, and then I'd like to point out verse 4. What the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did. That's just understood. I inserted that word, did. God did. Sending, how did he do it? Sending his own son in the likeness, not in sinful flesh, but in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, or as a sin offering. Judged sin in the flesh. So there we are, cleared, clean before God as regards sin within us, that evil principle, like the law of gravity within our beings. And the purpose was that the righteousness of the law, look at that. He doesn't throw the law a siren stomp on it. He honors the law. That the righteous requirement is probably the better translation of that word, dikaioman. It's the righteous requirement of the law, or you might say the righteous standard that the law sought, might be fulfilled in us. Christians who walk not according to the flesh, self, my efforts, my struggling, my resolutions, no, but according to the Spirit. So that's the law that comes into operation in a believer and is powerful and will deliver you and me from sin which is in us. How can I walk after the Spirit? What does that mean, walking after the Spirit or according to the Spirit? Well, he contrasts the two, walking, they that walk according to the flesh, they are the unsaved, and those that are walking according to the Spirit, those are the saved ones. And shows the contrast between the two and says they that are in the flesh, that is, they've never been born again, and so that's all they are. They've never been transferred over here to the realm of the Spirit by the new birth. And so all they are is flesh. And that's why the Lord said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and it can't get any better. It can't rise any higher than its source. And our sinful nature can never arrive at the righteousness that God wants in our lives. But those that have been born of the Spirit, which was done when we trusted Christ, God does it. We don't do it. We don't ask for the Spirit to come in. He automatically comes in when we believe on the Lord Jesus. He said, this spake he of the Holy Spirit, whom they that believed on him should receive. So those that believe are the ones that receive this Spirit. And now we have this power. And how do we walk according to this new power, this Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Well, it says, they that mind the things. Look at verse 5. They that are according to the flesh, that's their nature, they've never been born again, they mind the things of the Spirit. That is, their whole thinking and purposing and ambition and their whole existence is the things of the flesh, earthly things, material things, things that will never last, earth's glory even the earth's good, it's not going to last, but that's their life. They that are according to the flesh, that's their nature, they've never been born again, they mind the things of the flesh. But they that are according to the Spirit, that is, they've been born of the Spirit of God, the new birth, they mind the things of the Spirit. And this is how I think that we walk according to the Spirit. And that is to mind the things of the Spirit, to be occupied with the things the Spirit of God is interested in. For instance, this Word, which He inspired, we take it up and we read it with a hunger to know God's will and to do it, to behold the Lord and to be more like Him. That's walking according to the Spirit. We are minding the things of the Spirit when we pore over these Scriptures and seek to know God's blessing in it. In prayer, that's the things of the Spirit. Remember, we quoted from Romans 8 yesterday that the Spirit helps our infirmity because we don't even know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit Himself helps our infirmity. He prays or makes intercession for the saints according to God. And He does it in our hearts, because the next verse says that God, who searches the heart, knows what the mind of the Spirit is. And so the Spirit of God is praying through you and in you, dear Christian, when you pray. That's why sometimes you kneel down to pray and you can't say anything, but you just almost groan. Or maybe you do groan. Well, believe it, God interprets that groan. For it's the Spirit of God praying for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And so He produces prayer in our own hearts. And we are minding the things of the Spirit. We are walking according to the Spirit when we are giving ourselves to prayer in the Spirit. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. And He says to do it in the Spirit. He is the one that leads us in prayer. That's walking according to the Spirit. Fellowship with other Christians. The Spirit of God brings us together, and how God delights in the gatherings of His people. In the Old Testament, throughout their year, they had these special holy convocations, God calls it. And it was a special Sabbath with them. They didn't work. They just gathered. They were holy convocations. And all through the year, He spaced these special feasts or convocations for the people. And oh, I think these conferences are one of the grandest things that we have on this earth. It brings Christians together from different areas, and we sort of share what we've been learning through the past year in our own assembly and what we've grown into and enjoyed, and we share it with one another. We fellowship together, and we warm each other's hearts. And what a blessing it is. And even in our local assemblies, you know, the scripture says, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. Already there were some that thought they were too spiritual to go to that church, you know, and so they stayed home. Well, we don't ever stay home, we go to church. Paul never washed his hands of Corinth. Now, if I had visited Corinth, I don't think I would have ever gone back. Not that church, all stood up bickering like a bunch of brats. I mean, terrible. And letting people get drunk at the Lord's Supper, you think I'd go to that church? Well, Paul did. And he never gave up on Corinth. And thank God they came through, because his second epistle tells us that. But we are never too spiritual to go to any church. All you got to do is look at your own heart and life, dear Christian. You know as well as I do that we've all failed miserably along the way, that there have been things we've done we wish 1,000 times we hadn't done, and we have failed the Lord. Who are we to judge all the saints and say, I won't associate with them because I'm more spiritual? No, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, and so much the more. Don't forsake your assembling together, so much the more as you see the day approaching. You say it's the evil days? All right then, the more you see that we're in these last days, the more you and I need the fellowship of the saints. And dear young people, we are supposed to love lost sinners and do whatever we can for them. It tells us, as far as possible, to do good unto all men. But then we have a special relationship to believers. And one of the verses in 1 John says, we know that we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. That is, we have a special love for Christians. We attend to each other, and we need to recognize that and love one another as kin. And this fellowship with believers builds us up. So if we choose our companions, our bosom companions in the world, we are asking for trouble. We need to make our bosom friends Christians, because they'll build us up and we'll build them up. Fellowship, to me, that's walking after the Spirit, is taking His interest and making them ours. He wants us to gather together and fellowship together and walk together. And what a blessing that can be. There are other things, but just for the sake of time, let's leave it there. Walking after the Spirit is following His interest. And He says, if you walk after the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, it never did help me to meditate on any sin of mine, to dwell on it. Yes, to honestly be convicted of it, confess it, and be done with it, but not be occupied with it. Because that doesn't get you out of it. I remember this winding path through a woods in our neighborhood when I was a child. And then the bicycle tires weren't much good.
and a rock could just thrown right through your tire, you know, and you had to avoid rocks. And I remember going down that windy, sandy path on my bike, and I'd look at a rock, you know, I'd say, boy, I got to miss that thing, and I'd look at it, and do you know I would invariably hit it? But I found a secret that you probably found, and that is, don't look at the rock, look where you want to go. Where the right way is to go. And lo and behold, I missed the rock. And I believe that as regards sin in our lives, the devil wants to get you and me down. He doesn't want us to sin so much as he wants us to throw in the towel and say, oh, I can't overcome. I'm no Christian. I'm no overcomer. That's just what he wants. And what we have to do is when we fall on our face, get up and get it right and get our mind on the things of the Spirit. And lo and behold, we'll miss the rock, the besetting sin in our life. Walk after the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Don't you see how this new law, like aerodynamics, lifts us above our sin and failure and weakness and gives us the victory over our very nature, our natural human fallen nature. You know, one of the nicest verses in the Bible to me is Romans 7, verse 4. Romans 7 and verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law through the body of Christ. He's looking at him on the cross, of course, as in his body he made that great sacrifice for our sins and for sin. You may all become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you should be joined to another. And that word, hetero, is the Greek word meaning another of a different kind. I don't know whether he's referring to the law here or to Adam, but both things are true. We were joined to Adam when we came into this world. We stood before God in Adam, in all his failure. And in all that corrupt nature that he got when he disobeyed God, and you and I were born in sin. And that's the other, I believe. It could be the law itself, and that is trying to keep the law in order to arrive at a standing before God. You become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you should be joined to another, one of a different kind, even to him who is raised from the dead, so that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Don't you see, we've been vitally united to Christ, not only representatively, not only as our representative, but we have been, by the Spirit of God, we have literally been joined to Christ, joined to another, to one who's raised up from the dead. So that we, you notice Paul changes his pronoun here. He says, ye have been made dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you, or ye should be joined to another. But now he says, that we should bring forth fruit to God. I think Paul just got to the point, he didn't want to leave himself out on this. that we should bring forth fruit to God. No law will ever do it. And God has said the law is not the way of living the Christian life. But He joined us to one who is risen from the dead, not I. Resurrection life. That's what this new life is. And we have it because we are joined to the one who is raised up from the dead in order that we might bring forth fruit unto God. Remember those hands of Elisha on the hands of Joash as he pulled the bow and shot the arrow that became the arrow of God's deliverance. And it's Christ's hand, it's Christ Himself living in you and me. One of the biggest difficulties in this is that we have to cooperate. And the way we cooperate is by pursuing those things that we've mentioned and others like them that are the mind of the Holy Spirit. And the other is we have to come to a place of choice for our own personal life. And that's Galatians 5, verse 24. Galatians 5, verse 24. By the way, as we turn to that, I'd like to remind you of another wonderful verse, and that's 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17, which says that he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. That is, we are one spirit with the Lord of glory. The Holy Spirit that gave birth to his human nature in the womb of the Virgin Mary, the same Spirit by whom he said he did his miracles, the same Spirit by which the Scripture says he offered himself without spot to God, the same Spirit who raised him from the dead according to Romans chapter 1, that same Spirit is in you and me, and leading us, enabling us. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. And now Galatians 5:24. They that are Christ, here is reality here, not professors, but genuine. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and loves. Have you come to that place in your life? The flesh is just you. The flesh is just myself. Lydon Sheridan. Have you come to the place that you've taken the flesh to Calvary and you said, that's where you belong, and I'm done with you. And now I'm walking in newness of life by the power of the Holy Spirit, and all hell can conquer me. Thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, dear young people, lay hold of these things, I beg you, and make them yours. And grapple with them, and if the devil smacks you down, get up and go on again. And hang in there and keep reading these scriptures, and the Lord will show you, he'll certainly give you his deliverance. And may it be your experience. We pray that in Christ's name. May the Lord bless his word.